Hello, everybody, and welcome to our latest Jumpstart, software-defined networking with Windows Server and System Center. Now, we do apologize that we are starting a little late. We had some technical difficulties here because, you know what? One of our streaming people, they're not using software-defined networking, so that was the problem here. But don't worry, we're going to take you through a great day, kind of covering all of the basics of networking coming from Microsoft. Now, we're going to kind of kick off the day by really first talking about what is software-defined networking and how does Microsoft view it. After that, we're going to get a little more technical and really dive deep into how we implement it, looking at it both with our core networking stack in Windows Server and then moving on to look at how we can manage it at scale using System Center 2012 R2. In our third module, we're going to look at how we can extend software-defined networking beyond our own data center, looking at how we can use our concept of three clouds, your private cloud, a service provider cloud, as well as Windows Azure's public cloud. In our final module of the day, we're going to be taking a look at some of our performance goals here, how we can scale, how we can really optimize our networks throughout the stack. Now, to kick it off, let's meet the speakers. I'm Simon Perriman, a senior technical evangelist with Microsoft, and I've been with Microsoft almost 7 years now. I actually started as an engineer, part of our Windows Server team, working on failover clustering, and I actually had the pleasure to work with my first guest for about 6 months to a year when we first started here at Microsoft. So it's kind of nice to come full circle back to working with Rajiv. Now I'm your senior technical evangelist covering our System Center and Windows Server technologies. But let me introduce our first guest of the day, Rajiv. Why don't you give a quick introduction, tell us a little bit about your background.
Happy to, Simon. First of all, thank you for having me over here. It's a pleasure to be here today with all of you. A little bit about my background. I've spent about 23 years in the industry, the last 11 of which have been here at Microsoft. Generally a technologist by vocation, have a baccalaureate in engineering, a graduate degree in computer science, and an MBA from Berkeley. My background, I've spent many years building enterprise software, which spans operating systems with a focus on file systems, distributed file systems, storage drivers, storage networking, clustering and high availability, and now networking per se. Within Microsoft, I've managed teams that have done storage and file systems. I've managed the clustering and high availability team. And now the team that I help lead delivers platform technologies as well as solutions that ship in all of the devices that Microsoft ships and also are implemented in all of the services that Microsoft delivers. So the platform component of our team builds things like the TCP/IP stack, the protocol stack, security infrastructure like IPsec, remote connectivity solutions, and in terms of data center focused solutions, our team delivers pretty much everything that falls under the SDN moniker, which includes overlay networking, our distributed switch. We'll talk about all of these components later today, both in this module and in subsequent modules. So once again, a pleasure to be here.
Thanks.
With you, Simon.
I want to kind of emphasize one point, you know, why we really wanted Rajiv to come on here. That's because he has such deep experience in kind of three of our key areas of server. The actual servers with clustering, our file system, and our networking. So kind of these three central areas. Now, you're part of our kind of core engineering team, right? You work a lot with our vision, kind of this cloud-first engineering tenet. And now we're really talking about not just virtualizing our servers, not virtualizing the storage, but also virtualizing the network. So tell me a little bit, what exactly is software-defined networking and why has Microsoft decided to invest in this?
Sure. If you think about the fundamentals of computing, you think about the three pillars underlying all computing, which is compute, storage, and networking. Today, businesses cannot afford inflexibility. Businesses cannot afford rigidity. And therefore, what you see is harnessing the power of software in order to deliver on the set of benefits that businesses require today, given scale requirements, given mobility requirements, given flexibility requirements. Software-defined networking is a component of the software-defined data center, and that's how we approach it within Microsoft.
Now, how have these problems kind of been solved in the past? You know, we're really trying to focus on using virtualization to really abstract things, right? Hide the complexity of the underlying networks. But these abilities are somewhat new. How do we used to tackle these in the past?
That's a great question, Simon. So today, if you think about networking tends to be rigid and inflexible. In fact, let me illustrate this point through a very simple example where we see how a deployment can benefit from better flexibility. Here we see a typical networking architecture where we have three tenants that have been deployed within a standard data center where we have top-of-rack switches, and then we have aggregation switches. The tenants over here have different colors, and you can see over here that there's a green tenant and a VM associated with a green tenant that has been onboarded on one of the physical machines. Let's take the example where, for various business reasons, whether that is effective utilization of the infrastructure within the data center or whether that is for performance reasons or what have you, you decide that you want to instantiate a VM belonging to the green tenant on another rack within that data center. Well, ideally, all you want to do is bring up the VM over there. But in reality, as soon as you try to bring up the VM, what you see is that you have to go ahead and do a bunch of security-related configuration, including VLAN associations on various top-of-rack switches over here, the top-of-rack switch that we see over here. Let's just assume that you wanted to go across your data center to some other rack within your data center and instantiate the green VM from the green tenant over there. And what you see over there is you can't just bring up the VM over there as you'd like to do. In fact, you have to go ahead and muck around with your production switches, both top of rack and aggregation switches all across the data center. Now, this is a very simple example where what you really want to do is simply have the flexibility of placing your application, your workload, where it needs to be. And what you end up doing is, in fact, mucking around with your production network, which itself could be error-prone and could impact other workloads. This is the kind of complexity that is no longer acceptable. Therefore, what we are trying to do with software-defined networking is move away from that complexity and deliver the flexibility, the agility, and the mobility that is required so that you can place your workload where it needs to be placed at the speed at which you want to deploy it.
Great. So Microsoft is traditionally a software vendor. Networking is traditionally done by hardware vendors. Why is Microsoft investing in networking now?
I'm unsure that we should look at it as a hardware vendor versus a software vendor. I'm not sure those monikers really are valuable. I think we within Microsoft look at ourselves as a provider of infrastructure and platforms that best enable workloads or applications to run, whether those applications are deployed on-premise within your private data centers, whether that's your enterprise data center, or they're deployed within a private cloud which is managed by third-party cloud service vendors, or whether you decide to run your workload within the Azure public cloud. So our objective is to help our customers deploy these workloads with optimally, with the right price performance, and therefore we deliver the platform that enables our customers to do so. Now, we don't do this in isolation. We do this in conjunction with our partners in the industry, and that includes those that you might think of as incumbents and market leaders in the space. And the objective is to basically bring a complete solution that can then be deployed by customers.
Great. So what solutions does Microsoft have today?
So within Microsoft, what we do is our approach to software-defined networking started by our experiences in running our services at very large scale. So as you might be aware, Microsoft operates some of the largest services on the planet. These services are focused on consumers and also delivered to enterprises. Examples include Outlook.com, Bing Search, Xbox Live, and Office 365. In fact, they are delivered to hundreds of millions of customers on a daily basis. In addition to running these services at very large scale, we operate some of the largest data centers on the planet as part of Windows Azure. So just to give you a sense of scale, Azure has tens of thousands of nodes, and I'm probably underestimating that. Azure has over 200,000 or 250,000 tenants, onboarding about 1,000 new tenants a day and making tens of thousands of network changes on a daily basis. Now, as we operate these very large services and these data centers, we cannot do this using rigid, inflexible policies that we've all been accustomed to in the past. When you're onboarding 1,000 new tenants a day, you cannot tell the tenants, why don't you wait for a month or so while our network infrastructure gears up in order to accommodate your mission-critical workloads. So what we do is we built platforms in order to be able to deliver these services very large scale, and we live, eat, and breathe the software-defined data center, which encompasses compute, storage, and networking. Having learned from our cloud-first approach, we've taken these lessons and we've brought them to our customers so that they can then deploy their private clouds at very large scale. I mentioned all of these services. I mentioned Windows Azure. I'm sure all of you are aware that all of these services in Windows Azure run on Windows Server. So, in fact, all of our lessons are then delivered to our customers for on-premise deployments. And the way you, our customers, get these technologies is in the form of Windows Server and System Center. So we deliver control, orchestration, and management capabilities through System Center, and then we deliver infrastructural capabilities through Windows Server. So that's how we bring them to market.
So are you saying that we actually take code that was written for Azure for these massively distributed systems and actually use that in Windows Server, then give that out to customers?
Actually, the way to look at it is slightly different. We have a design point, a scale design point that is very large for these very large services, including Windows Azure. In fact, the way I think about it is when you think about cloud deployments, you think small, medium, large, which is what the rest of the, which is what the world typically deploys, and then you think about gargantuan, which is what Azure looks like. And there are very few deployments on the planet that are Azure scale. You know, you might think about common comparisons. Commonly, comparisons might be made to Google or Facebook or and similar. Now, what we do is, as I just mentioned, all of our services and Windows Azure run on Windows Server. So we in conjunction with the Azure networking team, and this, by the way, spans storage, compute, and networking, is we design our software to be able to be deployed at very large scale, and then we take that software and then we bring it to our customers. So it's common software. Of course, there are specific, very large scale-related changes that we make and that might be needed for Azure scale, which is not required by our customers. But then again, essentially the infrastructure is the same.
Great. Well, let's switch back to this diagram here. You know, we kind of are showing three clouds. Can you kind of walk us through this model of three clouds and the similarities we have between them?
Yes, indeed. I'd be happy to do that, Simon. So our vision is pretty simple, which is that there are private cloud deployments by customers on-premise, and those are your typical enterprise data centers, as you are highlighting. There are third-party service provider clouds. These are typically multi-tenant in nature, and that's the one that you're highlighting over there. And then there's the Azure public cloud that you see in the corner. Don't be misled by the relative sizes of the clouds. We just wanted to fit them all on the same page. And we've essentially expanded on one of the clouds in order to illustrate the technological components that are over there. As you see in the service provider cloud that's here in front of you, that cloud is based off of Windows Server 2012 R2 is what's illustrated over here, and System Center 2012 R2. And then it also includes the Windows Azure Pack, which delivers a consistent tenant experience, self-service tenant experience across Windows Azure and on-premise clouds. So System Center over here provides the orchestration, management, and control, and then interoperates or interacts with Windows Server. Within Windows Server, you see a couple of components that are part of our SDN implementation. You see Hyper-V Network Virtualization, which is our overlay networking implementation. You see our distributed virtual switch, which is the Hyper-V extensible switch. It's extensible by design. And third parties create extensions that plug into the switch and add value. And then we have a standardized mechanism by which we communicate with the underlay, with physical infrastructure, which you see at the bottom through OMI. In terms of extensions to our distributed switch, we've got commercially available extensions from the likes of Cisco and NEC. NEC extension, for example, allows our switch to respond to OpenFlow control requests. And then in terms of interacting with the physical network, there are commercially available products from Cisco, Arista, Huawei, and others, where we interact with them using a standardized schema and a standardized protocol. Also, as part of our SDN solution, we include an inbox gateway that delivers on site-to-site forwarding and NAT capabilities. This gateway is multi-tenant by design. And the multi-tenancy over here, I just wanted to kind of point that out, is interesting. It's industry-leading. Typically, when you would deploy a gateway for a particular tenant, you probably want to deploy it in a highly available manner. So you'd end up probably deploying a couple of VMs, gateway VMs per tenant. You have 100 tenants, the math is easy, you'll end up deploying about 200 VMs. However, with the inbox gateway that comes through along with Windows Server 2012 R2, we have the ability to provide isolation across multiple gateways, per tenant gateways within the same VM. So you could have, for example, 100 gateways in a highly available configuration that are deployed using just two VMs. We have the ability with these inbox gateway solutions and also with our Express Route solution that we will hear about later in the day for you to be able to stretch your network across all three clouds. So you can do that across your on-premise data center cloud, across the third-party service provider cloud, and across the Azure public cloud. And with our overlay networking implementation, you obviously have isolation security benefits, and then you also have the ability to bring an entire network from your on-premise data center into a cloud service provider environment or into the Azure public cloud.
Great. Well, let's talk a little more about the extensible switch. Now, this means that you can have an existing investment, you could still do network virtualization, and you don't have to change things, right? We are able to communicate with existing networking infrastructure. Is that right?
So when you think about software-defined networking, what we don't want to do is require a forklift upgrade of your existing infrastructure. In fact, what a customer really wants is the promise of flexibility, agility, and mobility, and the customer wants to maximally utilize their existing investments in the underlay and also then get all of the benefits that accrue with our network virtualization implementation, which is our overlay networking, and all of the benefits that accrue with the policy enforcement that occurs on the edge through software with our distributed virtual switch. And that's exactly what we do provide, which is our switch is extensible that allows third party to add value, whether that's through filtering extensions or through forwarding extensions. And that allows, in fact, multiple overlay networking solutions to coexist on the same physical infrastructure. And then through the standardized way by which we communicate with the underlay, we can offer a very complete solution to end users that gives the best of what they've already invested in, which is the existing physical network, and the best value that they can get from the software-defined networking solution that they get through Windows Server and System Center.
Great. Well, let's define a few of those terms you mentioned there. What exactly is an overlay network? What's an underlay network? What's the difference? When should people use one or the other?
These are just monikers used by all of us in order to describe the various components that constitute networking within the data center, whether that's in your own environment, in the enterprise data centers, or in cloud service provider environments. Typically, when you're thinking about the underlay, you're thinking about the physical infrastructure that's out there, your networking switches, whether they're top of rack, aggregation switches, or you're talking about your appliances that you might have deployed over there, which include security-related appliances or optimization appliances or what have you. And then when people talk about the overlay, what they're talking about is the network virtualization, the abstraction of the network that is delivered through software. For example, the abstraction that is delivered through Windows Server 2012 R2. And so our view is pretty simple. A combination of this network virtualization, the orchestration capabilities that come with System Center, the network virtualization, the policy enforcement that comes in software through the distributed switch, and then the communication, the rich communication between all of the software on the host and the actual physical infrastructure, that is what actually gives the power or delivers the real value of agility, flexibility, and mobility to customers. So hopefully that demystifies these terms a little bit and allows you to think about this a little more comprehensively.
Nice. So one more question around definitions. I often get asked, you know, what is network virtualization versus network function virtualization? Can you just kind of clarify that for us as well?
Absolutely. So we just spoke about network virtualization, and we spoke about network virtualization is instantiated through this overlay networking, which is basically an abstraction of your network that allows for isolation, allows for you to have, for example, your own addressing scheme and multiple overlapping addressing schemes to co-reside on the same physical network. So that's network virtualization. Typically, network functions are delivered today, in today's network, in specialized appliances. So when you think about network functions, you think about the most commonly used or most familiar to all of you might be, say, load balancing or a security appliance or what have you. And these are specialized appliances, a combination of hardware and software that is then deployed by customers. What's happening these days is the realization that some of the the functionality that is delivered through a combination of hardware and software could indeed be delivered through deployment of virtual machines on industry standard hardware. And that's the nascent or emerging area of network function virtualization, which is essentially taking your network function and then instantiating it as just another application or workload on industry standard hardware within your network. And that allows you to both scale out potentially and scale up in a flexible manner. So in some sense, that's decoupling of the software function from the integrated appliance. So hopefully now you get a sense of network virtualization and network function virtualization. They're just components of an overall SDN solution. And you will see more and more solutions come to market that incorporate both.
Great, thanks. So we're going to now speak to the audience for a second. We spend a couple minutes kind of defining different things, but we still hear a lot of kind of confusion just out in the industry about what does software-defined networking really mean. So what we want you guys to do, we're going to give away a book, which is signed by everybody that's presenting today, for the person that wins the contest. And the contest is, how do you best define software-defined networking to your peers? How do you explain it to your peers and help them understand? We want to hear some other definitions, other terminologies that you have. Here's the trick, though. You got to do it on Twitter so you have 140 characters or less. We'll post more information into the chat window soon. And make sure you interact with us, get a prize here. Now, moving on, next question for you here. It seems that there's a lot of different protocols and implementations out there, right? We have OpenFlow, OVSDB, STT, NVGRE, VXLAN. I mean, it's like an alphabet soup here of just acronyms. What do our customers really need to think about as we kind of look at these different protocols?
At the end of the day, what customers need to think about is very simple. Do I have better flexibility? Do I have increased mobility? Do I have increased agility through the usage of software in my data center? That's what customers should care about. And by the way, this applies equally well to networking, storage, and compute. Now, let's talk about networking and the alphabet soup that you mentioned. Network virtualization or overlay networking. Network virtualization requires an encapsulation format to be used on the wire. That encapsulation format basically, in essence, takes the payload and tunnels it across the physical network. There are different encapsulation formats used in the industry. For example, we use a standards-based format called NVGRE. There are others in the industry that use VXLAN, and then there are others who use STT. My advice would be not to worry about these encapsulation formats. They're simply mechanisms. They have no value inherently in themselves. It is the responsibility of the vendor community to ensure interoperability and deliver value to customers. So that's as far as those formats are concerned. Hopefully I addressed three of the components of your alphabet soup. Now, going up the stack a little bit, as you deploy software-defined networking, you will likely need mechanisms to manage, control, configure your network. And those mechanisms, again, there are different protocols that are deployed in order to be able to do that. For example, we have an industry standard mechanism that we deploy called OMI, which comprises a schema and a protocol in order to be able to deliver on this control configuration management. There are others in the industry like OVSDB. There are emerging ones, and OpenFlow is another protocol used in order to be able to do fine-grained control of flows, just as the name suggests. Often OpenFlow is confused with software-defined networking. It's not. It's just another mechanism that allows control, and therefore it's a component or a mechanism that allows or enables a particular functionality within your software-defined network. And the industry is working together in order to deliver on interoperability. If you go up the stack a little bit further, a critical value that is going to be increasingly realized through the deployment of software-defined networking is the interaction between applications and the network. These could be mission-critical applications. For example, there's a great example where we've demonstrated Link interacting with the network and delivering great call quality in real time by enabling the network to reconfigure itself for some specific flows when it's determined that there's some jitter or some problem within the network. So there are mission-critical applications that could interact directly with the network or through intermediaries, and then there's an emerging category of network applications that will also interact with the network to deliver on all sorts of value, which includes security, which includes optimization capabilities or traffic engineering. The industry is working together to cooperate on a northbound API, which will then be consumed by these applications, therefore spurring a virtuous cycle of innovation. So there's an alphabet soup today, which is this encapsulation format, and also includes these control configuration mechanisms, protocols, and what have you. And then you will see these northbound APIs that'll be consumed by applications again. What I would urge all of us to do is to focus on the complete implementation and the value derived from that implementation, and not get too hung up on a specific protocol. However, there still remains there is this onus of responsibility on the vendor community to make sure that our systems interoperate. And indeed, that's what we've done with Windows Server and System Center through our extensible switch and through our usage of standardized protocols and schema to be able to interoperate with the rest of the industry. And you'll see us continue to do that.
So it sounds like, you know, our customers really shouldn't be the ones that have to worry about these protocols. It should be kind of up to the vendors to collaborate and, you know, work with these industry standards to make things better for everyone. What kind of standards organizations are we working with to make things better?
That's a great question. So this is an emerging field. The whole field of software-defined networking is emerging. And we within Microsoft believe that it is critically important for us to collaborate with our industry partners in order to deliver maximum benefits to our joint customers. So we participate in a slew of bodies. We participate, for example, at the Open Networking Forum, or ONF. A colleague of mine sits on the board. Recently, there was a keynote at ONS where Albert gave a great keynote on how SDN has been deployed within Azure. Colleagues of mine, folks on my team, work within the ONF where they are trying to define this northbound API or interface that will be consumed by applications of the future. So that's an example. We contribute within Open Daylight, which is a consortium of vendors within the industry who've come together in order to deliver an open source implementation of SDN. And so we are active over there. I happen to sit on the board and on the technical steering committee, and Microsoft participates vigorously within that environment. You might have seen our announcement at the Open Compute Consortium, where we've basically contributed within the Open Compute environment. And in addition to that, Microsoft participates in various standards organizations, certainly the IETF, within the DMTF. We participate within domain-specific organizations like UCI, where our Link and Link brethren go and contribute. And so networking is all about interoperability, and so you see us participating in all of these different fora, and you will continue to see us do that.
Awesome. So it sounds like, you know, we've really tried to invest a lot to make things better for everyone. How do you kind of see the role of traditional hardware vendors kind of playing in this ecosystem as well?
That's a great question. I think we have to go back to the basics. At the end of the day, the incumbents and the upcoming players within the industry have a very simple objective, which is to deliver great value to customers. And that value comes through implementations that enable customers the manageability they desire, the cost optimizations they desire, the flexibility they desire, the agility they desire, the mobility they desire. We look at our partners, market leaders who are traditional networking vendors, as players who will continue to strive to deliver these benefits to customers by themselves and in conjunction with us, just like we will, and just like the upcoming companies will that are trying to deliver solutions in the SDN space. It's a very fertile ground for all of us to deliver value to customers. Key is interoperability, and I just see the a healthy, vibrant ecosystem coming together, delivering great solutions in the near future.
So when you start to talk about ecosystem, does this mean that we're kind of moving away from the traditional model we see of a single vendor, meaning that customers now have more choice with this interoperability?
Customers always had choice. The way I look at it, a customer determines what is best for her business based on her business needs. With this virtuous cycle of innovation that we see around us through the advent of software-defined networking, there is certainly more choice in the market. The market will mature. It's nascent right now. And as it matures, we will see great interoperable solutions offered to the customer, whether and those solutions may come from a combination of vendors, it will eventually result in benefits accruing to the customer, and therefore benefits accruing to the vendor community. Just like it has, just like happens in all other technological areas. So I just see this area as a fertile ground, as I said.
Great. So for our audience out there, we've posted a poll question asking some feedback about which networking vendors you use. If you're in full screen mode, if you could shrink that down, answer our poll question, we'd love to get that feedback from you as well. Now, Rajiv, next thing I want to ask is, you know, what is a good example of how software-defined networking can be used from an end-user's perspective? Is there a particular Microsoft application that really takes advantage of that?
I think a great way to look at this is quite simply the ability for you as an end-user to be able to onboard your applications in an incredibly flexible manner that you could not have imagined in the past. Think about Azure. I mentioned this earlier. Think about the fact that Azure needs to onboard 1,000 new customers a day. Now extrapolate from that and think about your environment and think about bringing or onboarding a new mission-critical application and ensuring that your network is ready in order to be able to support the needs of that application, whether those are related to security, isolation, whether they are related to quality of service, and what have you. Software-defined networking will enable organizations of all sizes to be able to benefit from flexibility that while continuing to maintain or deliver on expectations vis-a-vis quality of service or security, benefit from this flexibility that could not have been done in the past. So that's just a very basic benefit that accrues to organizations of all sizes. The ability, for example, to specify policy holistically in a centralized manner, for example, security policies, and then move your workloads across machines and ensure that those security policies stay with your workloads. That's tremendous agility that organizations of all sizes can benefit from. But then if you go on to mission-critical applications deployed at very large scale, I spoke about Link before, the ability to for applications like that to richly interact with the network and have the network respond to its needs in a real-time manner is something that we'll increasingly see in the future. So if you deploy software-defined networking today, you can realize value today. And then in the future, as you scale your deployment and as applications begin to interact more richly with the network because they realize they can, and as new applications are onboarded that inherently know how to maximally utilize the network, you derive even more powerful benefits from your deployment. So this richness will continue to grow as you try it out.
Now, you have a background in server management, you have a background in file systems, you have a background in networking, and these are kind of the three of our key areas that we see our audience, you know, actually participate in. What do you kind of recommend as far as a career path as we start to think about how software-defined networking is kind of changing how we just think about managing our data center?
Good question again. The way I look at it is we all evolve. We have to. Change is a way of life in the business that we are in. We bring certain skills to the table, skills that we have acquired the hard way. These could be skills or expertise in networking. These could be skills or expertise in server management. These could be skills related to a particular application domain. These could be skills related to delivering resiliency or high availability. And those are incredibly valuable skills. With the advent of the software-defined data center, with the advent of utilizing the power of software in order to be able to deliver benefits that customers need, we all of us have the opportunity to grow our skills, to take the skills that we already have, to bring them to the table, and then to be able to understand the needs of the business. Those are business needs, but they translate directly into technical needs, because at the end of the day, it's all about applications, workloads that are used in order to operate businesses and that can themselves potentially be monetized. Our ability to understand those needs, to map them to the various pillars of computing, to map them to, for example, the needs that could be satisfied by the network, those are critical skills that we need to develop. And that's how we become trusted business advisors. And that's how we grow ourselves. And that's how we can then deliver maximum value to our customers, which are the businesses. So I look at the current environment as a phenomenal opportunity for all of us to grow and to deliver increasing value in the IT space.
Great. So how would you recommend somebody get started? What are some resources that they can take advantage of?
Start playing with what you have. Most of you have access to Windows Server. and System Center. And in fact, today, later today, colleagues of mine will walk you through how you can deploy some of the technologies that we alluded to in the last 30, 35 minutes or so. Start playing with them. Start small. Maybe set up a trial network, couple three machines connected, maybe through a single switch, and then deploy Windows Server 2012 R2, deploy System Center, and then create your distributed switches, and then go ahead and create an overlay network, and set up some policies, and then deploy some workloads or applications, and then move them around, and see for yourself the power that you have in terms of the ability to control how you can move things around and learn from it. And as you gain more confidence with it, give us feedback and take this and start deploying it at scale. Go back to what I told you earlier. What you have in front of you through Windows Server and System Center, those are the technologies that we have deployed at very large scale ourselves. And so therefore, you can start playing with them. You can start trying them out. You can figure out how you can utilize the benefits to your business's advantage. And I would strongly recommend all of you do that.
That's a great answer. You know, if we could switch over to our resources slide, I'm going to point our customers to a few places to start. We have the TechNet Evaluation Center, where you can actually download these full versions of the product with that's completely free for 180 days. We have our TechNet Virtual Labs that will actually spin up a live virtualization environment for you with guided steps so you can actually click through, go through the process. And of course, you have the Microsoft Virtual Academy, which kind of gives you these overviews and these online events. Last but not least, don't forget Microsoft Learning and their certifications program. Now, I often get asked, you know, I'm covering a lot of technologies. What's my process to go and learn so much? Well, I'll tell you, when I first started, my very first week joining Rajiv's team here, I joined the team and it was the cluster team. I thought we were doing high performance computing, HPC clustering. So I had kind of an interesting first week there, learning that, hey, I'm actually doing this thing called failover clustering. And so again, I really want to emphasize his point. Best way to do it is get your hands on it. I got told my very first day, go set up a cluster. Don't ask anyone for help. Get in there, go do it yourself. And we really want to emphasize this point. You know, it's great to learn about it, but you're really going to get that practical experience by getting hands-on. And we're providing a lot of resources that do that. Once you feel confident that you have the success, go take an exam, get a certification. That's something tangible that you can add to the resume, take with you, that really gives you proof that you do have this knowledge. So start with the MVA, learn about what's important, get hands-on, take your certification, and that's going to help you get prepped towards our software-defined networking. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this first module. Rajiv, thank you so much for joining us and kind of giving us the overview of how Microsoft's thinking about networking moving forward. So a lot of great context. Stay with us throughout the rest of the day. We're now going to be getting more technical. We're going to start by looking at core networking, System Center, Azure, and a lot of performance as well. We'll be back in approximately 10 minutes. Thank you.